Well, is Mormonism a cult, or is it just another form of true Christianity? And how does someone get pulled into Mormonism? How do they get out? You're about to find out firsthand.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I was in the Washington, D.C., Virginia, Maryland area last week. I was driving to one of the meetings where I was ministering over the weekend, and I passed on my left on the highway a beautiful building, beautiful white building. You see it from quite a distance. I used to pass it a lot when I lived in Montgomery County, Maryland. It is a Mormon temple. What goes on in there? Who gets to go inside? Are there special secret rites that Mormons pass through that indicate it is really a cult and nothing related to the true gospel? Or is it really a modern revelation that is helping to transform the church? Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast. I have a very special guest with me, and I'm holding in my hand her book, Unveiling Grace, The Story of How We Found Our Way Out of the Mormon Church. Her name, Lynn Wilder, wife, mother, grandmother. Oh, that's not why she's on the air. It's wonderful she's a wife, mother, grandmother. But that's not why she's joining me today. She's got a doctorate in education, but that's not the primary reason she's on. It's where she studied, where she taught. For 12 years, she was a professor, researcher, 20 years as a teacher. She's mentored thousands of students, has produced more than 50 scholarly publications. But get this. She produced two books on positive behavior support, a book comparing Mormon and Bible doctrines, and she was a tenured faculty member at Brigham Young University. That's right. The flagship Mormon university. She left in 2008 when she experienced a crisis of faith. If you're a Mormon listener, if you have friends who are Mormons, if you just want to find out more about Mormonism, this is the show for you. Lynn will be on with me for two solid hours. All of this will be archived on our website later today. But if you have a question, the number to call 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Without further ado, Dr. Lynn Wilder. Lynn, thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire today.
Michael, this is a blessing for me. I have great respect for what you do.
Well, thanks. I've enjoyed meeting you as I've ministered in Florida a few times and getting to meet you and chat a little bit. So thrilled to see this book come out. We've just got about a minute in this first segment, but what kind of responses are you getting so far to Unveiling Grace?
Actually, Amazon was out of the book in 2.5 days. It's selling really well. People seem to have interest in Mormonism. There is a Mormon blogger who has suggested that every Mormon read the book.
Really?
Yeah. So, well, we spoke on Sunday. 1,200 people showed up.
Really? All right. Well, listen, this is exciting to hear. I've been eager to have Lynn on the air to talk about this book, Unveiling Grace. When we come back, we're going to go through Lynn's story. We're going to find out, did she grow up in a Mormon home? How did she come into Mormonism? Find out more about the journey to Brigham Young University. And then what got her out of Mormonism? And then later in the broadcast, in the second hour, we'll compare what do Mormons believe, what do Christians believe, is it one and the same? Is the Book of Mormon demonic, human creation, inspired? We'll cover it all today right here on the Line of Fire.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. My guest, former Mormon professor Lynn Wilder, author of the book Unveiling Grace, The Story of How We Found Our Way Out of the Mormon Church. 866-34-TRUTH if you have a question for my guest. So, Lynn, how were you raised, and how did you find your way into the Mormon Church? Before we find out how you got out, let's find out how you got in.
I was actually raised in a Christian home. We went to church every week, to a Presbyterian church when I was growing up, but my wonderful parents never, ever opened the Word of God. So I was not familiar with that as a truth source, and there was a lot I did not know about the biblical Jesus. At the age of 25, my husband and I had been married 3 years. We were looking for a church. And Mormon missionaries knocked on our door.
Now, why were you looking for a church at that point?
I think we were eventually looking to have a family. Mike and I both believed in Jesus. We had been going to some churches. They seemed kind of boring to us. They just didn't connect. And I had read the New Testament, or the Old Testament, actually, recently. And I had decided, wow, Israel came back to her homeland. These must be last days talked about. Mm-hmm. And none of the pastors at the churches where we were going were talking about that. And I had a great interest in that.
All right. So you and your husband, you're married for a few years. You want to get established in a church. You don't seem to find something that's really catching your interest. And Mormon missionaries came knocking at your door. What was your first thought when you saw them?
I was not home when they came. My husband was. I was quite angry, actually, that he'd let them in and let them go through their first discussion with him. I had these visions of kind of Mennonites. I lived in Indiana. I'm thinking long, dark clothes, polygamous, bonnets. You know, I really didn't know anything about Mormonism. But what intrigued me, Michael, was that on their badge it said the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Mm. And when I had my questions about last days, they said they had all the answers about that, that Joseph Smith had restored Christ's original church, which had been lost after the disciples died, and that these were now latter days, and that all this stuff was going to unfold, and it was going to unfold with kind of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as the center.
Now, did they make clear to you that this was a different religion, that it was the Bible plus the Book of Mormon, or did they tell you, no, this is the biblical faith, this is the real Christian faith? Did they tell you anything that would give you the idea that this was not part of true mainstream Christianity, except for the other churches weren't really on track?
No, absolutely not. You probably are well aware that 85% of converts that go into Mormonism come right out of biblical Christianity, much like I did. People that don't know the word, that aren't aware of the differences. And the missionaries certainly do not make those differences aware up front. They're going to emphasize the similarities. In fact, they typically start with the Bible, something that most kind of nominal Christians are comfortable with, and then they move you to the Book of Mormon. But even while you're investigating the church, they will never present you with their later scriptures, the Doctrine and Covenants or the Pearl of Great Price, probably even if you ask them to see them.
All right, so you now are starting to get drawn in. What is it that you think, for you, but then for the many others you spoke to, what's so attractive about Mormonism? Why do so many people come out of nominal Christian backgrounds and sometimes even genuine Christian backgrounds and get drawn into something that, as we'll see during the discussion, is actually a non-Christian cult? What's the draw? What's the power of it?
The draw, I think, is through relationships. The Mormon Church understands quite clearly that you will stay somewhere where you're comfortable, where you feel like you have a place, where you feel like people respect you. I know now that it's playing on human pride. I didn't know that at the time. As soon as we started investigating the church, my husband was just finishing his master's degree. They found a professor in his department who was Mormon that all of a sudden started having us over for dinner, were willing to answer any of our questions. They just folded us right into their family. I think part of what took me in was this just marvelous, family-strong, overwhelming culture that's 24/7. It's not like just going to church on Sunday and then it's done. These people become your family. And soon after we joined the church, I would say within 6 months, the Mormon members, church members, supplanted my biological family. They replaced my parents and my siblings.
Now, when you went to your first service, though, okay, there's the family atmosphere, there's the what would seem to be genuine fellowship, you're getting involved in people's lives, you're not just showing up at a church service on a Sunday and looking at the back of someone's head and hearing a sermon and going home. There's the wholesome emphasis of what family life should be. They're using the Bible. What happened when you went to the first service? Do they sing hymns like everybody else? Do they preach from the Bible? Do they preach from the Book of Mormon? What happens in the church services?
Oh, it's interesting. The first time we went, I wore pants, and Mormon women have to wear dresses to church.
Uh-huh.
And my husband had a beard, which you're supposed to be clean shaven, especially if you have any leadership position in Mormonism. So I remember the sacrament going by, and I'm thinking, oh, this is just like Christian sacrament. You know, I reach out to take it. And this professor's wife that was with us reached out and smacked my husband's hand and said, "You are unworthy to take the sacrament." And then she looked at me and said, "Besides, you have pants on."
All right, and that wasn't a little bit of a warning that something's funny here?
You know, I can't tell you all the reasons I went in, except that Mormons rely very heavily on feelings. You get to the Book of Mormon, and in Moroni 10, 4, and 5, there's a challenge that if you read these things, the Holy Spirit, you know, will make it clear through feelings that they are true. So my husband actually did go to his knees, did pray about the Book of Mormon, and they tell you if it's true, then all of Mormonism has to be true. Joseph Smith was a prophet, you know, everything hangs together. My husband had an interesting dream that he was defending the Mormon people from their attackers. And then he said to me, "I have to do this." You know, so then I have to make the decision, am I going to try it with him, or are we going to split our marriage apart because of spirituality? So I said, mm-hmm. Okay, I'll try it with you for a while. We went in, and I can tell you, Michael, at the six months, I was standing in front of the people at those same Sunday services and bawling, bearing testimony that I knew that Joseph Smith was a prophet. I knew that the Mormon church was the only true church on the face of the earth and Jesus, with which Jesus Christ is pleased, which is part of it.
All right. And we'll find out how this happens. But just quickly, a few years ago, I wrote an article, and it was with a lot of discussion going on about Mormonism. And the question was, is Mormonism a cult, or are Mormons Christians? And I said, let's turn this question around. Do Mormons think that the rest of the church is a cult? Do Mormons think that professing Christians are Christians? And the answer from the inside would be what? How does a true Mormon look at born-again professing Baptists and Pentecostals and Presbyterians, Lutherans, those that say they have a genuine relationship with God through Jesus and the Word? How does the Mormon church officially look at them?
From their scriptures, it says there are two churches only, and that would be the Church of the Lamb and the Church of the Devil. They're the Church of the Lamb. Therefore, anybody outside of that is the Church of the Devil. When we first joined the church, we actually used to call everybody Gentiles that wasn't in the church, and then we were Jews. And that's probably another thing we need to talk about.
Yeah, I think so. All right, so just so folks understand, while on the one hand, Mormons want you to think, no, we're Christians. We believe the Bible like you do. We believe in Jesus. Don't call us a cult. Don't look at us as outsiders. They get upset when they're listed in cult books and things like that. No, Mitt Romney is a Christian and should be received as a fellow believer. On the one hand, they would like us to think that way, but the fact is, in official Mormon theology, all of us are of the Church of the Devil because we are not Mormons, and we reject Joseph Smith. My guest, Lynn Wilder, the author of Unveiling Grace. We're going to continue with her story, tell you more about this book when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Reading from the back of Lynn Wilder's book, Unveiling Grace. For 30 years, Lynn Wilder, once a tenured faculty member at Brigham Young University, and her family lived in, loved, and promoted the Mormon Church. Then their son, Micah, serving his Mormon mission in Florida, had a revelation. God knew him personally, God loved him, and the Mormon Church did not offer the true gospel. This rocked their world. They have ultimately left the Mormon Church. Lynn's written the book, Unveiling Grace. Friends, get a copy of the book. We've put together a special resource package with the book, Unveiling Grace, the story of how we found our way out of the Mormon Church, with a foreword by Dr. John Ankerberg. Get the book and the CDs from both hours of today's broadcast. That includes not only her personal story and odyssey in and out of the Mormon Church, but what Mormons really believe. $25 postage paid. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. All right, so Lynn, within 6 months of joining the Mormon Church, you're now testifying publicly, crying, Joseph Smith is a true prophet. Let me play the devil's advocate, literally, for a moment. And we'll get later in the broadcast, we'll have time to discuss what Mormons really believe. But the whole thing about Joseph Smith getting this revelation, and he puts on these glasses, and he's reading something in Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics and produces all this stuff, and the American Indians, lost tribes. I mean, it seems so nonsensical. And here you're a thinking woman, you've got some Christian background. How did you come to that point so quickly of being so passionate and dedicated? Because you're not the only one this has happened to.
Well, I think because they taught me to use feelings instead of my reasoning brain. I've thought about this a lot. As I taught at BYU, we taught our college students to use their reasoning brains in biology and in education and sociology. But when it came to faith, you follow the Mormon prophet blindly, and you rely on your feelings. And the better you feel about something, the more emotional it makes you, the more you cry. They say that's how the Holy Spirit tells you it's true. Only I didn't know that there were two sources for information. I didn't know that demonic sources could also make you feel those kind of feelings, and I didn't know that you needed to test that with the Word of God.
How far do you go then? You're now, you and your husband are thoroughly committed, you're starting family life together. How do you end up making the move now, not just to be Mormons, but to actually move to Mormon country, to move to Utah, and throw yourself in? Why this level of devotion?
Because we were chosen for leadership positions that made us feel good. Mike and I literally would give nearly 20 hours a week to church work on top of jobs, part-time jobs, family, taking care of elderly in-laws, you know, taking care of the home, going to all our kids' ball games. It's a very harrowing life. Now I describe it as if I were on a gerbil wheel constantly running. There really isn't time for communing with God, for developing a relationship. Mormons think that's an evangelical Christian thing. That's not something they strive for. It was quite a harrowing life, but I thought I was doing it for Jesus Christ, Michael. I really believed that, and that was why I was willing to go to those lengths.
All right. Well, then at a certain point, though, you're now in it, you're absorbed, you're committed. At a certain point, because you're doing teaching, you're doing studies, you're obviously using your brain. You're obviously thinking analytically on some level, but I guess you're doing it within the system. No one's saying that they're not intelligent and educated people in Mormonism or in other cults or in other religions. But the question is our mind now subject to the system, or are we able to think outside of it? Was there any ability to ask questions? Was that welcomed? When people said, hey, I've got questions, or I was checking this out online and this seems to be a contradiction, or someone challenged me on the Book of Mormon, were questions welcomed? Was there that type of environment? Hey, let's sit down and talk, or was this squelched?
Not necessarily. And, of course, I'm talking 70s, 80s, 90s, before the Internet even. And so the church used to officially come out and say, don't read this book. Don't look at this. You know, this is demonic. Things like a book called Emma Smith, who was Joseph Smith's wife. Joseph Smith was a polygamist, the mm-hmm. founder of Mormonism. He had 33, 34 documented wives. 11 of those women were married to other men when Joseph Smith took them as wives. There was a mother and daughter combination. The Bible's pretty clear about whether you should be sleeping with a mother and a daughter combination. And one of those girls was as young as 14. So what we have, these are things, though, I did not know in Mormonism, because we did not have an Internet and we didn't really have places to go for that information, and because the Mormon Church warned us away from certain places. Although, Michael, I have to tell you, maybe the reason I'm out today is everything they told us not to read, I read.
Uh-huh.
But even yeah. so, I didn't march right out, you know.
Got it. All right, so you see these things, you're absorbed in it. What about, and we'll just be quick here, and because we have a break coming up. Once you were in it, was the family life real? Was the devotion real? Did the people seem genuine? Or was this just a web to pull people in, and once you were in, you saw it wasn't what it was made out to be?
No, I think that we were quite genuine and active members of the church who felt like we were serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think there are many such sincere folks in the Mormon church, absolutely. Lots of people are questioning right now, though, because of the Internet, and certainly young people are finding things out about church history and about church that, you know, the church doesn't tell their members. So it's nothing but a blessing. Tens of thousands of people are leaving the Mormon church every year. About half of those, we guess, are going to atheism.
Mm. Yeah, so that's the good news and the bad news rolled in one. All right, friends, I've got an hour and a half more to be talking with my guest, Lynn Wilder. You say, but I don't have another minute to listen. No problem. You can get both hours of our interview as we continue on her journey and find out how far she got into the Mormon Church and then how she came out. And then we'll discuss in detail what Mormons actually believe, how it lines up with Scripture. You can get the book, Unveiling Grace. It's an amazing story, and read over 350 pages. And the CDs from today's show by calling 1-800-278-9978. This is available by phone only today, 1-800-278-9978.
Hey.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today, friends, on a very special broadcast focusing on Mormonism with my special guest, Dr. Lynn Wilder. Her book, Unveiling Grace, the story of how we found our way out of the Mormon Church. Lynn was actually a tenured faculty member at Brigham Young University. She and her husband and family, deeply committed Mormons, and her son, Micah, while serving as a Mormon missionary, had a crisis of faith, came to real faith in Jesus, and that was the first major step in the whole family turning around. Lynn, why did you write Unveiling Grace, and who's your intended audience?
I actually pitched a book to Zondervan that had nothing to do with my family called Mormon Giants in the Land, thinking that during the election people would be interested in the culture and faith of Mitt Romney and Glenn Beck. Zondervan looked at my proposal. They gave me a call and said, "We want you to write a book, but not the one you pitched. We just want to hear your family story." And, of course, my first thought is, wow, I don't want all the good, bad, and the ugly in public, including my sins. But God is sovereign, and it was his plan. Is using this book to bring Mormons to faith in the biblical Jesus. He's bringing this book. We've heard from atheists who have left Mormonism, been atheists for a number of years, and then reading the book and then thinking they might rethink this God of grace. Mm-hmm. So God obviously has a plan with it. He had a plan with the whole story. That's the wonderful thing about our sovereign God.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that's interesting, I've written for Zondervan and quite a number of other publishers, and they are so inundated with proposals. To even have something looked at, it takes a lot. To then have them work with you to shape a book means there's real interest in your story. It is an important story to tell. But why this emphasis on grace in the title? Doesn't the Mormon Church teach grace and preach grace? And isn't it the Church of the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ? How can you preach Jesus Christ without grace? Why this title, Unveiling Grace?
The word grace we hardly ever heard in the Mormon Church. You're hearing it in more recent years because there's been a real effort, probably over the last 10 years, to convince biblical Christians that they are part of the body. In fact, they actually had a multi-million dollar campaign during the election, started about in 08, called I Am a Mormon, that's still ongoing. That has convinced a lot of people that Mormonism is in the body of Christ. So they tend to use the word grace now. But I have to warn you, every religious word that Mormons use that is the same as Christians has a different meaning. Christians can't just make the assumption that when Mormons say grace, that they're talking about biblical grace. It's not. Grace to a Mormon is the power that God gives you to live the commandments so that you can work your way to the celestial kingdom.
All right, so totally different meaning. So when you discover grace, everything changes. All right, I've got a bunch of questions. I want to ask you some insider questions. I want to ask you what happens once you get past the outer courts, so to say, and the rites within the Mormon temple that only the leaders get to see, and then what was the atmosphere at Brigham Young University where you were a professor? I want to get a little deeper into the journey of Lynn Wilder and her family and then the miraculous journey out. In the next hour, we'll focus on doctrinal issues, what Mormons actually believe and teach, how it lines up with Scripture. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Michael Brown with my guest, Dr. Lynn Wilder, author of Unveiling Grace, the story of how we found our way out of the Mormon Church. Lynn, there is this aspect of revealing secrets or initiation. You find out things when you go deeper. Oh, look at that Mormon temple. No, you can't go in there unless you're at a certain level. Did that have any appeal to you and your husband to get initiated, to get in the inner circle, and to get, in that sense, behind the scenes?
Yes, that's certainly what you're working for in Mormonism, because unfortunately, you believe that God is more pleased with you and that you can earn your way to a higher heaven. There are a number of degrees of heaven, according to Mormonism, if you can please your Heavenly Father by doing these things. I had no idea the Bible said that we're not to do things in secret, that what's in secret we need to speak in the daylight. I had no idea the Bible said that. Mike and I actually worked in the Mormon temple for 10 years. So the 30 years that we were in Mormonism, we held a temple recommend the entire time, as did our children, except for our daughter who came to biblical Christianity before she went to the Mormon temple. One of our kids was actually married in the temple. Mike and I were married in the very D.C. temple you were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Now, who cannot get in there? If I just go up there and I say, hey, I'm curious about what Mormons believe, or if I've been going to a Mormon church for a few months, can I get in there?
Oh, absolutely not. You have to be Mormon, and you have to be worthy Mormon. So there are 14 temple recommend questions. So these are works that you had to do in order to be righteous enough to get a temple recommend, and that temple recommend then allows you into the temple. Things like you have to live a health code, they have, you have to profess Joseph Smith as a prophet, believe in the living prophet at the head of the Mormon Church, you have to believe that the gospel went into apostasy after Christ's disciples died, and then the Mormon Church restored the true gospel. So you have to profess some of those things. My guess is you would not profess those, Michael. So you
yeah, good guess. Good guess.
You'd not be in a Mormon temple. Yeah.
All right. Now, what about going even further behind the scenes? I saw a video, readily available on YouTube, a Mormon initiation, right? They were playing some clips that, people would be watching, and then just the handshake. And I thought, it almost seemed like some comedians had put this thing together, some comic, sarcastic, mocking act to make Mormons look bad. Was it people just spoofing, or does this stuff really go on?
No, it's accurate. There was a gentleman by the name of New Name Noah. You can find him on YouTube, that actually went into the Mormon temple ceremony with a video on his watch just a few months ago and taped the whole thing. Yes, it's accurate. The handshakes come from Masonry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so Brigham Young University, how do you get on the faculty there? And what's the environment like now at the big Mormon university?
Well, in the beginning at BYU, they didn't have enough PhDs in Mormonism. Then they hired people outside of the church. But when I was hired in 99, I was told that they now just hire people in the church. I needed to have a temple recommend, which meant I needed to be a worthy Mormon. By the way, I would say at least half of the Mormons do not have temple recommends of the 15 million Mormons in the world. So who goes to the temple? Who's righteous? Who's going to become a god in the end? It's really even a small percentage of Mormons. So BYU is called the School of the Prophets. That's what the insiders call it. That means that is the place where we are training people to go out into the secular world and into the Mormon religious world to be the leader. So people like Mitt Romney, people like Stephanie Myers, you know, who wrote the Twilight series. She's an English major from BYU. The idea in Mormonism is that you go out into the world and you have great influence so that other people will want to join Mormonism. Because the Mormon Church believes that it's the only church with which Christ is well pleased. And when he returns, he's going to rule the earth from the Mormon Church. You know, in the Old Testament, it says there's a stone cut out of the mountain without hands that'll roll across the whole earth, which, of course, Christians believe is Jesus Christ. Mormons believe that is the Mormon Church, that it will just continue to get larger and larger and larger in preparation for Christ returning and then ruling from the Mormon Church.
All right, and teaching there, how many students are in the school?
34,000.
34,000 students.
Right. And there's BYU Idaho and a BYU Hawaii, and then there's another Mormon university in Virginia. We were told about 1 million youth from the Mormon Church turned 18 every year, and to keep them in the church, you know, was always a big challenge.
So on campus, dealing with these young people, some a little bit older in the more advanced programs, were they, so you got your hand on some of the most serious prospects for the future of Mormonism, your mm-hmm. first hand on the inside.
Plus, they really know that the head of the board of the Mormon of BYU is the prophet himself, I do believe, and then six of the 12 apostles sit on the board of trustees for Brigham Young University.
And how committed are these students from what you could tell? Are they going through the motions or are they serious?
No, I think most of them are very serious. You know, it says in the New Testament that the God of this world blinds the minds of unbelievers. I believe when I was in the Mormon Church, I was an unbeliever and I was blind. You know, there's almost a fog where even presenting biblical scripture about grace or things that Mormons aren't familiar with just kind of go right over their head. Certainly
all right.
For me.
Got it. All right. So faculty member, BYU, completely in the system. You're not anymore. When did the... Oh, hang on. Look at that. Look at that. In the middle of my question, we lose our guest. What in the world happened there? We'll get her back. I'm holding in my hands the book, Unveiling Grace, the story of how we found our way out of the Mormon Church. This is very, very important to understand, friends. The devil does not come in the front door and say, I'm lying to you. The devil does not come in the front door and say, I'm here to deceive you and destroy you. As it's often been said, the problem with deception is that it is very deceiving. The problem with deception is that it can look good and it can sound good, and then once you are seduced into it, once you are pulled into it, then once the deception has done its work, you can believe outright lies and you embrace them. Satan comes, according to 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, Paul says, Satan comes how? As an angel of light. And he says, Paul says there, it's no surprise then if his servants come as angels of light, and he calls them false apostles because they were deceivers. It's one thing to have divisions within the body over different points, but we're part of the same body, part of the same family, saved in the kingdom of God together. It's another thing, friends. It is another thing when there are cults and false religions. That's why I use the term false teacher, false prophet, false apostle carefully. If someone today is a born-again believer, loves the Lord, serving God, but wrongly thinks that they are an apostle or a prophet when they're really not, I would say that person is falsely called an apostle or falsely called a prophet or falsely called a teacher, whatever the case would be. But I will not call them a false prophet or a false teacher or a false apostle unless they are sons and daughters of Satan. Joseph Smith is all of the above: false prophet, false apostle, false teacher. Joseph Smith used to bring deception. But please understand, if you told the whole story about who he really is, if you laid it all out for people to know the facts first, if you did that, then, in point of fact, nobody would become a Mormon. First, the deception has to come. Then, with the veil of deception, then, behind that, then you begin to introduce more and more error. We'll be right back.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Now let me tell you what I don't think happened. I don't think that Mormon aliens from another planet came and abducted my guest, Lynn Wilder, author of the book Unveiling Grace. Nor do I believe that Mormon terrorists came to the house and cut the phone line so that she was cut off from us. Okay, as much as I recognize, I'm having a little fun here while we reconnect with Lynn Wilder. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. Yeah, maybe a Mormon worker at the phone company. That's more realistic, Joey. The book, Unveiling Grace, the story of how we found our way out of the Mormon church. Hey, Lynn, I don't know what happened to you there, but that was weird in the middle of the interview. You suddenly disappeared. But Let's find this out in this last segment, and then we'll devote the next hour to talking about doctrine. Faculty member, committed, raising your family in the Mormon church, how in the world do you find your way out, and what did it cost you to make your way out?
It cost me everything, Michael. It cost me friends, family, money, position, job. But this God is worth every bit of it, Matthew 19, whatever it says. You have to be willing to leave family, children for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So how did you find your way out, Lynn?
I found my way out by going to BYU, teaching diversity, running up against racism, God beginning to open my eyes that there were 26 racist scriptures right in Mormon, the Book of Mormon and the Book of Abraham, which is Mormon scripture, and realizing that something was wrong. And then God reached down, converted my son. He became born again on his Mormon mission. And that, again, took us further into the Word, asking God to show us the truth.
All right, now, here's the problem, though. You've thrown yourself in for 30 years. The question is obviously going to be asked, how could I have gotten so deceived, and how do I know I'm following the truth now? Did you go through those type of questions as a family?
Yes. When Micah chose the God of the Bible, I decided I'm going to have to find out what's true. So I'm going to go straight to the Book of Mormon because it's the most correct book on the face of the earth, and I'm going to find the direct words from Christ.
More correct than the Bible.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's what Mormons teach, that the Book of Mormon is the most correct book on the face of the earth. So I'm looking for the red letter direct words from Christ in the Book of Mormon, and it had never dawned on me before, even though I had taught Mormon seminary, that they actually were not in there. It was all about what Jesus told a Mormon prophet, who then told the people. There was always somebody in the middle, except for one little section of 3 Nephi,
where Jesus supposedly visits the people in the Book of Mormon who live in Mesoamerica and speaks to them. And guess what he speaks? The Beatitudes.
Mm.
Those were the only red letter words. Now, there are a few others, but those were the main ones in the Book of Mormon. And my brain finally went, if I'm going to hear the words of Christ himself, I have to go to the New Testament. Because that's where Christ himself spoke. That's where his 12 apostles were that were with him, and they wrote about it. You know, so I have this researcher brain, so I'm thinking, okay, the primary source is Jesus himself. The secondary source would be the people who knew him. But they weren't in the Book of Mormon. They were in the Bible. So I was kind of forced to go to a place. Mormons do not necessarily believe that the Bible's true, by the way. They think it's mistranslated. They have a lot of beliefs about the Bible, just like atheists have.
Mm-hmm.
That it was put together by men, that they tell these stories about how monks copied it down through the ages and they made all these mistakes. And the Book of Mormon actually says there are plain and precious truths that are missing from the Bible, and that's why Mormons need the Book of Mormon. So when I went and read the red letter words of Jesus, I was completely, my mind and my heart and my eyes were open to the fact that this wasn't the gospel that Mormonism teaches. The gospel that Jesus himself speaks in the New Testament is not the gospel of Mormonism. And then you're forced to make a decision. Do I believe what the Mormon hierarchy tells me about who Jesus is and what he teaches? Or do I believe the words directly from Jesus himself in the Bible?
Because the Mormons agree that what Jesus says is important, so are you going to take it from his mouth or what they have to say?
Yes, but what you have in the New Testament is a different Jesus than you have in Mormonism, because they teach different ways to salvation, they have different natures, you know, and I began to see this. Now, maybe God reached down and opened my eyes for the first time. You know, I don't know that we know all about how that miraculous thing happens, except it says in John 6:44, Jesus said, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I believe it was my turn to be drawn. I think that God began to teach me and open my eyes. And then I got to a point where I knew Mormonism wasn't true, but I still wanted Jesus. And I believed the Jesus of the Bible. So there was actually a moment in time where I laid face down and I gave my life to Jesus. And honestly, Michael, things started to change. For me, I say in the book, it's like God, it's like the world became Technicolor, 3D. And God started answering my prayers. He started speaking to me. He became real to me. And I was consumed by the Bible. I could not
The reality of God. So the difference between a religious system, the difference between a religious system and hard work and human effort and demonic revelation with the true God and the true gospel. Friends, Lynn's website, unveilingmormonism.com. One word, of course, unveilingmormonism.com. Ex-Mormon Christians United for Jesus. You can get her book, the whole story, how she and her family got in to Mormonism and how God brought them out. Unveiling Grace, the story of how we found our way out of the Mormon church. The book and the CDs from both hours of today's show, the next hour, which I know many of you will not be able to hear on the radio in your estate. Others will be picking it up as we go. The next hour will focus in on what Mormons actually believe and compare it with Scripture. To get the book and the CDs, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, there is a massive world of difference between the cult of Mormonism and the truth of the gospel of Jesus. That truth will set you free.